Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UW Eau Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. Got Nick over there.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Coming up on the second half here, just to give you a little bit of a tease, we got the unsung heroes. I like that, how you termed that for these two ladies coming in, a couple athletic trainers.
100%. And they, again, like I mentioned later on in the episode, they don't get enough credit, I feel. Mm-hmm. And it's not because our athletes or our coaches don't get enough credit. I just think they truly are, like, when you talk about behind the scenes, like, they are truly just behind the scenes, and they don't like the spotlight as much.
Right.
Or they just don't get the spotlight, right?
Right.
And they truly are just, I mean, heroes is an understatement for that whole crew. Yep. Between Gary, Janice, the rest of the ATs, like, they are special people.
Absolutely. So before we get to their interview here, I know we're wrapping up quite a bit now with the sports season and such. So track and field, though, I mean, what, they had a couple of events last week, and it seems like there a lot of those athletes are ready for nationals.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like, going into it, the amount of school records that they've broken, this, I think we've talked about it, the amount of school records, amount of just like personal records that everyone's setting, just and hitting national marks, it truly is just like, I don't have words for it.
Right.
Everybody, like, the entire D3 Nation better be ready, because come May 23rd, Myrtle Beach, that's going to be, it's going to be,
I think there's going to be a lot of podium winners over there.
Oh, yeah. A lot of blue and gold.
Yep.
A lot of blue and gold up top.
I know, too, softball, you were over there for the WIAC tournament, falling a bit short. It was a close game with Whitewater in the opener, 2-1, then falling to Stout. But I liked, and it kind of resonates to what we were saying when Coach Huntington, I saw her tweet saying, you know, for next year, I mean, this team's going to be right. That's something we kind of talked about, too. I mean, a very young team. And, you know, kind of what you just said, too, D3 watch out. I'd say WIAC watch out next year for Blue Gold softball.
100%. I mean, you look at the starting 9, 10, there's two. I mean, in a normal rotation, there was two, maybe three upperclassmen. The rest were first years or sophomores. So, yeah, it was a tough tournament for them. I mean, it's kind of came down to their song the whole year, where just one inning got away from them. But they're young. They're inexperienced. And I think it was, I mean, the silver lining from my point of view is, you know, now all these first-year softball athletes have experienced the WIAC tournament. They know what it means. They've seen how other teams react and how close and competitive it is. And I think that's important moving forward. And, yeah, I think they'll be just fine. Just fine moving forward. And I do need to give a shout-out to the senior class graduating. I mean, honestly, I mean, with graduation this Saturday, shout out to all the seniors.
I was just gonna say, yeah,
you know. Like, and it's not just softball, but seniors throughout, you know, throughout the department. I mean, this group has been. This was, I'm trying to think. It's 4 years ago. That would have been. Was it my first year full time? I think right out of college, if my math's correct. I think that's right. But just, I mean, congratulations to all of you. Like, This is a huge feat, and to do it as a student, but also as an athlete, and the time and effort you put in, and it's been awesome.
I think that's almost kind of a perfect way to, you know, almost wrap up this segment. I know we got a little bit of a shorter one here, but to go think about these athletes, and when we hear their stories, especially coming up here too with a couple of athletic trainers, the amount of time that goes in just to their normal, like, it's a normal day for them. And I hear these, and I think a lot of people who maybe not involved in athletics hear these, like, how the heck do you do it?
Right.
You know, with practice and class and sometimes even jobs with that too, right? You know, just doing that stuff.
Well, and when we get into the interview later on, I mean, like Maddie said, she didn't want a traditional, you know, hour or traditional schedule. So it just proves that, you know, these student athletes, coaches, these, you know, support staff, we're you know, we're weird, crazy at times, and you know, but it's all for one cause, and that's for, you know, Blue Gold Athletics and for the community and the university.
Absolutely. So I guess, you know, kind of on the docket, we're just watching for track and field right now, right?
Yeah. Golf rankings came out. Unfortunately, we didn't get anybody in. I think they were right on the cusp. Softball didn't get the at-large. So, yeah, track and field's last live. Again, they'll be just fine. I think they have two more. I think there's a multi-day today down at St. Olaf. Okay. And then the Augustana invite later in the week, and then it's national times, baby. It's the best time of the year, and they're gonna. Yeah, I think revenge tour from indoors is gonna come full circle for them.
Yeah, that time I was seeing some of the results, I'm like, ooh, yeah, there seems like some of those athletes are peaking at the right time.
Yep,
getting ready for national. So, all right, we're gonna take a quick break, have a word from our sponsors here, and then. Catch up with a couple of athletic trainers, the unsung heroes of the athletic department. So, quick break, and we'll be back after these quick words.
Where do you go for great burgers, drinks, and fun? Wahlburgers inside your local Hy-Vee. The Wahlburgers and Hy-Vee stores have a large menu, including a kids' menu, plus a full bar. You'll find the classic Wahlburgers favorites, including Mark and Donnie Wahlberg's favorite burgers and Chef Paul Wahlberg's famous tater tots. Plus amazing appetizers, sandwiches and salads, and delicious shakes and desserts. For a great meal on the go, check out Wahlburgers at Hy-Vee.
Are you looking for a staycation? Well, we have you covered, and there's something for everyone. With plenty of options to choose from, you can get away and relax at any of our local hotels like the brand new Holiday Inn Express and Suites Eau Claire West, Candlewood Suites, Holiday Inn Express and Suites Lake Halley, or Staybridge Suites. Want the whole package? Johnny's Italian Steakhouse and Holiday Inn South are the premier full-service hotel and restaurant in Eau Claire. Unwind, recharge, and enjoy the experience. We are here when you're ready for whatever you need.
Second half of this episode of the Rolling with the Gold podcast kicking off right now. We just got a couple more episodes before season one is in the books here, and a couple guests, they're going to be closing the books on their Blue Gold career.
Yes, they're going to be leaving us after Saturday.
Yeah, graduation coming up, so...
We got a couple unsung heroes. We've talked to student athletes and coaches and some donors all year, and two people, but part of a department that I think just doesn't get enough spotlight for the handiwork that they do, and the time and effort that they put into making sure our student athletes are at the top of their level. Definitely was on my radar to get them in throughout the year, but their schedules just did not line up with ours. So. We have Olivia Cammers and Maddie Kleinschmidt, two graduating masters, seniors out of our athletic program. So, Maddie and Olivia, welcome to the Rolling with the Golds podcast.
Hello. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, first things first, well, just kind of general, what was it that drew you guys to be where you're at right now, athletic training and such? What was it? Because once in a while, for example, I'll talk to a doctor, you know, or orthopedic surgeon and be like, what the heck made you want to get into that? Well, injury sports and all that sort of stuff. But what was it that drew you to what you guys are doing right now?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of like everyone, I was played sports in high school, so I liked the athletic setting. And then moving from that, I knew that I didn't want to continue in college playing, but I liked the sports atmosphere and that athletics in general. Mm-hmm. And athletic training is kind of like a non-traditional medical field, and I was really interested in that, so you're not going to have the regular doctor schedule, nurse schedule, but you're still going to practice and work with athletes. And on top of that, I really like helping people, and just working with athletes in general is a lot of fun. They're a fun bunch.
Yeah, so for me, I kind of have a similar story. I played sports all throughout my life. I did continue through college, and I had the support system throughout, so I knew what an athletic trainer was. I knew the time and effort they put in, and I kind of knew, yeah, these are my people, and this is what I want to be around. All those chronic injuries, any acute things, anything like that's kind of what I wanted to deal with. I've always knew that I liked medical things. It's just something that fascinated me. So going into that and just being around all the people that I enjoy being around makes life a little bit better when you like what you're doing. So
All right, so how fast can you tape up an ankle? Are you pretty quick on that?
I haven't taped in a long time, so probably a little rusty right now. I mean, I could make the 3-minute cut, don't get me wrong. But.
Is that what a 3-minute cut? Is that a thing? Like a real thing?
It depends. Yeah. You'll take classes where they're like, all right, first time you got to get under 5 minutes, and then you're sitting there shaking, trying to tape the ankle if someone's grading you. But you get quicker, and sometimes I'll slow down if I want to just chat with the person. But I could probably get it, 2 or 3 minutes.
So, like, those videos where we see, like, people are just whipping them around, like, really quick, that's, like...
Yeah, that's Gary. that's how I feel when I'm taping next to Gary. Makes me a little nervous, and I think he could do it in probably 30 seconds.
That's unreal.
I think it was a couple years ago, we actually did film Gary, and we timed him. I think it was, like, 38 seconds or something.
Are you kidding me?
It was nuts.
I took a class, because I graduated with a Kin's degree, so I had, like, the basic ankle taping thing. I think I could do it, but it probably take me 7 to 8 minutes just to, like, go back and, like, okay, I got to start from the heel and then kind of go around that way and, like, the horseshoe or whatever sort of thing. So, yeah, it would take me probably 10 minutes, actually, now, the more I think about it. Because I wouldn't wrap the thing right first and then kind of, yeah, we don't need to go through that. So, it's tough.
I had to do one for my coaching minor, and I think I got it within time.
Yeah. But we weren't timed. But I'm older than you, so
I definitely
maybe that
didn't
changed.
Do it right, which is why I got docked points, but, you know, that's why I'm the Twitter guy, not the...
That's right. Exactly.
Not the AT.
So give us a little bit of a background, like, what your schedule's like, because I remember, like, when I was in school, we would hear, like, how early the athletic trainers are in, the student athletic trainers are in. I mean, you know, we got teams that have early practices and such, but you guys are there before, you know, setting stuff up and getting everybody taped. I mean, what was kind of like a typical schedule for you guys?
It definitely depends what team you're with. I think some of the longest days I've had was when in the fall I was with women's hockey and women's basketball. So they'd have their women's hockey would have their morning practices. So I get there probably around 4:30 the earliest. Mm. Usually we kind of push it to 5:30. And then from there I'd have to go to class around 8 and then be in class for a few hours. Maybe have time for like an hour after that to go home, get some lunch, take a break. And then I'd have to come back for volleyball practice. So, yeah, we'd get there for pre-treatments, head out to practice, sit with them through that, and then come back and do after treatments, rehab, and all that. But that's like one of my longest days. Mm-hmm. Just an example there.
Yeah, definitely depending on what sports team you're with. I mean, lifts are a bit different, too, depending on, like, we have a bunch of support staff anyways that are there for those. So we'll occasionally be there for lifts, depending on what we want to watch. And then, yeah, usually an hour or two before practices and an hour or two after. Game days are completely different, you know, spring sports, depending on the weather. So we could be there for hours on end just waiting for the game to start. So that makes a totally different ball game for that. And then just, like, the longevity. And, you know, we're not just all business. Like, yeah, we do like to sit around and chit-chat with everyone. So that does take up a little bit of our time, too. But that's the part of it that we like.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with those long days and, I mean, long hours, and yet you're still here. I mean, masters and all that. Would you say that's just because you enjoy it? I mean, that's your passion and that sort of, because I think a lot of people might be like, no, screw this. I can't do it. Because that's a lot of dedication. That's a lot of time to put in there.
Yeah, we definitely like what we do, and kind of like Maddie was saying, the people make it worth it. We learn to have fun with things and joke around, but then also like know when to be serious and help our athletes out. Right now as a student too, everything is new. It's like I'm experiencing these things for the first time, so I gotta take it as a learning opportunity and say like, yeah, today really sucks, but I'm gonna be so much better because of it, and I have time to improve myself on that.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that too, but I feel that the most like standard I knew coming into this, I don't want that standard hours. Like, I'm good with the weird hours. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps things interesting. Keeps, you know, me kind of with that passion. Like, oh, what's going to happen next? When will I have to be here? I don't know. So I think that's part of it, too.
So give us a little bit of a background on your schooling, because master's, right? You're graduating with your master's. So, like, you know, how many years have you been, you know, has it taken you to complete this, and you've been around with the program? Just kind of give us a little bit of a background on the schooling and the length of that.
Yeah, so I did start here with undergrad for my bachelor's in exercise science at Eau Claire. And then With our master's program, we can do an accelerated. So my senior year in undergrad, I started the master's program. So altogether, it's taken me 2 years for my master's degree, but 5 total for college.
Okay.
And yeah, I got really fortunate where I can take a year off.
I had a little bit of a different pathway. I think there's two of us. This is the first year that there's two traditional grad students, so me and another one in our cohort, that we did our undergrad elsewhere. So that was our 4 years, and then we came here to do our 2 years, so all in all, 6.
Okay. So you did this in 5, too? Man.
Well, also being an athletic trainer while going through school.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Still, even 6, 5, and 6. I got a bachelor's in 5, and now I just feel like I was lazy. So.
You probably were.
I probably was, too. Did you do it in 4?
4.5.
Oh, not as bad as my buddy Jake. Took him 6.5, 7 because he was lazy. So, and he's a teacher. So,
yeah, go figure.
No shame.
No, none at all. So, I know it's kind of, you guys are graduating this week, and by the way, congratulations for that. What's the next plan for you guys? Are you looking, does that start to look at careers? Is there more schooling involved? Like, what's the next step for you guys in your careers?
So after my 6 years, it's kind of been a long road ahead. I'm ready to, you know, get going in the workforce. I think I'm going to take a break from a little bit of schooling, but I really enjoyed the clinic setting, so I will be going down a little bit towards home, towards Madison, to work at a clinic. But there is other aspects to our job, so, like, if I am in the clinic, I have the opportunity to cover some, like, weekend sports or, like, something that I choose, so there's a lot of opportunities down there. I've had a lot of special opportunities as well through our immersion experiences, but I think I'm really excited just to do some, like, non-traditional sports other than our, like, football, baseball, softball. Mm-hmm. Like, I can do fencing or dodgeball or, you know, things like that that also keep us on our toes. So
right.
Continue to learning just that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also very excited not to be in school anymore. but I'm heading towards, actually, Gustavus, so please don't hate me for that. But yeah, I'm going to be an AT out there working with some of their teams. I'm excited to be kind of in the more traditional sense, but not have school on top of it. So
right.
New things ahead.
So how is it, you know, from an athletic trainer's standpoint, obviously you got to prepare and help out with different sports. Is there one sport that is a little bit different, maybe a little bit more difficult? Is there much that you have to do differently? You know, I mean, obviously there's more to it than just taping ankles or whatever. But how is it? Is it a process? Is it something to get used to kind of prepare for different types of sports or different athletes like that?
Yeah, it definitely changes sport to sport. Obviously, football is a whole different beast where you have to pack enough for over 100 guys.
Yeah.
I never had a football rotation, but I know Maddie can speak more on that one. But you kind of have to look at the demands of the sport, if it's inside, outside, if you have to worry about heat and weather, and then kind of like, is there going to be wound care? Is it contact sport where I have to worry about more extreme injuries like broken bones or stuff like that. So you kind of get to see it through your immersions and rotations, because we'll spend some time with just about every team.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of seeing how they operate, what you like to have too, because a lot of it's personal. Like, what do I personally need to be able to care for these athletes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with all of that, I think I am not a person who was like, yes, I am all about sports. I know everything about every sport. So, like, when I'm thrown into a sport, I have no idea what the rules are, what these people need to even do. Like, that requires a lot of learning and asking questions on my part, too. So, like, I feel that the athletes were amazing at just letting me know, because I would be like, hey, like, what do you actually need to do so that I can help you get better? And they'll be like, oh, okay, let me show you. So that was really reassuring, and then just having other people to rely on with that, that'll teach you not only the skills that you need to be an athletic trainer, but also understanding what you're getting yourself into.
Mm-hmm. Is there a sport that's a little bit more difficult to prepare for, or not really? Would you, the kind of on par?
With, like, equipment and packing-wise, like Olivia said, the football being with all those guys, I mean, we do have a bigger staff, which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the athletes just being very patient. I think there are, like, our lower maintenance sports.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some sports that we don't see as often, especially if they're not on campus with us. Like, golf isn't on campus. Sometimes tennis and those, like, smaller teams. So I'd say it all comes differently. I don't think there's more to prepare than other, otherwise, like, equipment-wise, maybe, like, for the athletes themselves, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I think a big thing is, like, whenever an athlete comes to the door, you have to treat them like any other athlete you'd help, even if they're not your team. Like, you have to kind of prepare yourself, like, how can I give them the best care so that they can go and play their sport to the best of their ability? So just kind of think about that.
So, you, Olivia, you obviously got your undergrad here at Eau Claire, so you kind of knew about it, and then Maddie, I kind of want to see your perspective coming from somewhere else, but this Masters for Athletic Training is fairly new. I believe 2020 was when it started. I think it's only a couple of years old. But, like, what about athletic training here at Eau Claire possibly sets it apart from other schools that offer the same, you know, education?
Yeah, I think the people is a big thing. We have a super close staff, and even our professors are super close. So you spend a lot of time with these people, and the fact that we have people who care so much about not only us but also our athletes is, like, we have a bunch of role models and people to look up to. And looking at the professors, too, like, they're well-known professors, and they really just give it their all, and they care about us and care about the profession even more. Well, maybe not even more, but...
Yeah, so coming into this, I was looking at schools and thinking, like, where do I ultimately want to end up, being close to what I like. I didn't go to school that far from here, so I kind of knew the area, knew a lot of different people that came from here, and they had nothing bad to say. Like, obviously, they were raving about the people, the atmosphere, just, like, being around, and I was familiar with what they were saying and, like, the area, and I wanted to be a part of that, and I wanted to have the same experiences. So just coming into that and having that connection with people already really set me up to be a success. And, like, we do have a smaller cohort, so being so close and so familiar with everyone really kept it close-knit and kept it kind of like a family atmosphere.
What would you say is the most difficult aspect of your job or your profession or what you've maybe experienced? Is it, you know, for, I don't know if this has happened, but, like, you know, what if there's an athlete that is just pushing to get on the field, and maybe they're just, you know, that physically they shouldn't. Is that something that you guys have run into? Is that something that you kind of have to deal with, you know, maybe trying to hold an athlete back from maybe hurting themselves a little bit more? What's been, like, maybe a difficult situation you guys have run into?
Yeah, that's definitely always a tricky situation where you don't want to, like, stop an athlete from doing what they love, but you know it's best for them not to maybe go practice today. I think it's really tricky, too, to, like, the athletes with more chronic injuries, like, keeping them motivated and upbeat, like, hey, I know we're dealing with this and it sucks right now, but if we keep pushing and keep working, like, you will get better. So just kind of dealing with that where it becomes a little more emotional, and, like, you see them hurting and you want to care, so you have to not only separate your own emotions from it, but then how do I also help this athlete, like, get through it mentally and physically?
Yeah, I think it's definitely hard. Knowing that, you know, I can empathize with them just a little bit. And just going through the mentality of, you know, I can't help you if you don't want to help yourself. So just talking through some of those, like, risks and benefits and just taking it back and saying, are you mentally ready for this? And are you going to be able to perform to the best of your ability if I put you out there? Just kind of putting that into perspective. And I think that it helps people understand that just a little bit more.
Now, you guys kind of already talked about, you know, what's next for you guys in your careers, and a little different. You're still going to be working with a team, and you're open to that, more of a clinic, but potentially helping out on weekends. Is sports and your passion for sports and love for sports still obviously with you for that, but is that something you still want to continue to work with as you kind of get further along in your career? Like, you still want sports to be a staple with your career?
I think there'll definitely be a sports aspect. I've spent so much time in the athletics realm that for me it's time for a little bit of a break and to branch out to see what else is out there. I mean, there's so many different opportunities for us, and the profession is just continually growing. So I think that the different opportunities and things that we can get ourselves into is definitely interesting, and wanting to grow that more. I know that I like working with not only athletes, but also I like working with geriatric populations. That's just something that I've always been interested in. There's a different beast in any population you work with. So, I mean, that's just me, though.
Yeah, I think as of now, yeah, I want to stick with athletics for a little bit. I've just been working so hard for so long to get here that I feel like I owe it to myself, even if, like, yeah, I might need a break, but let's see what it's like as, like, the certified athletic trainer, being in charge, seeing what it's like. So definitely for a little bit, I'm going to stay in the sports realm. And then, like Maddie said, the profession's really growing, so I'm excited to see where maybe I can take myself in a couple years when more's out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to do with your profession, too? And I apologize if this is kind of a dumb question, but, like, every couple years recertify or anything like that? Is that something that you kind of – because I got to imagine maybe some new stuff will pop up in the profession and such. Is that something you guys have to be aware of or have to kind of – I guess, is it still schooling sort of? Is that the best way to say it? So,
I mean, yeah, you could call it that way. So we have to, like, recertify or, like, I guess, yeah, continuing education – units, so just those things. I think it's 50 every 2 years, and we have to report those. And then keeping up with our licensure for the state licensures. I think that's about it. Keeping up with our, like, accreditations like CPR, BLS, and first aid and things like that. So there's definitely a lot out there. There are a lot of conferences and opportunities for us to be a part of as well. I know there's, like, national organizations and state and district, so we like to go to those. It's a lot of good networking, and it's a lot of good talks that we can just sit and have all the people around us that are also interested. So I think that's another aspect that's really great that we have in our profession.
Nick, did you have any more before we get to the lightning round here, or should we jump right into it, you think?
This has been great.
Yeah. All right, so this is the hard questions now.
This is what I didn't tell you guys was coming.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Lightning round. So favorite food? See, I told you. The hardest questions.
I like pasta. It's generic, but, like, just any type of pasta.
Anybody can win me over with snacks, specifically pretzels or goldfish.
Ooh, nice. My kid would like you. should we just ask it since we're on the food one there? Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Up top, both of you. Thank you.
You were, like, really antsy to answer that question. I feel like you prepped them for that one.
Did you not?
This is a debate we have in the ATR almost every day. Very controversial topic.
It is very controversial.
With, like, the student athletes?
Just students and certifieds.
Oh. What's the general consensus in the ATR?
It depends who you ask. Some people are more passionate about it than others. I feel that students...
Why would you say that?
We got to do a count. You know, when season one's in the book, we'll have to do a count to figure out who... I still think it's the no's winning. It's gotten closer, but I still say
but the no's winning. It's just, it's crazy that, like, it's showing up in the ATR, showing up in Mitch's class.
Yeah,
like,
right?
So, it's a hot topic.
Favorite movie? See, these are the tough ones, right?
Devil Wears Prada.
Oh. With Anne Hathaway?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, no. I really like Grown-Ups.
Nice. That's the second Grown-Ups pick we've had. Who was it, the other one?
Was it... It was the golfers. It was Nick or Carson.
Yep, one of the golfers. Yep. It's the second Grown-Ups one. I think that's the only one.
Grown-Ups 1 or Grown-Ups 2?
Grown-Ups 1. I mean, 2 is good, too, but 1's the OG.
Original.
Yeah. What are you binge watching if you have any time, like streaming, Netflix, Hulu, anything like that?
Currently Cake Boss.
I've needed a lot of background noise lately, so I've just been putting on Gilmore Girls.
That's weird. That's what my wife's right now binge watching for the third time is Gilmore Girls.
This is my first time, but I'll also put on New Girl quite often.
Oh,
New Girl's a good one.
Yep. Favorite hobby?
I don't have time for a lot of hobbies right now, but that's one of my goals. taking up crocheting.
Okay.
I feel the same. I've started and ended a lot of different hobbies, but I think one that I've stuck with, this is so old lady of me. I really enjoy gardening and, like, growing my own vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're getting into adulthood. Don't worry. That's definitely. Favorite music?
Like genre?
Yeah, anytime, or do you have an artist, or?
I listen to a little bit of everything, but a lot of, like, indie pop, kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's definitely fluctuated, depending on, I'm a seasonal music kind of person, so probably the indie pop right now.
Favorite? Do you have a favorite book? Some do, some don't. This is a very controversial topic, too.
Right now, it's my Principles of Athletic Training
book. I was wondering if somebody was going to pick that.
The textbook they sleep with every day?
Yep.
No.
Okay. Biggest influence in your life?
Mine was my grandpa. Yeah. He played a big part in my life and just always encouraging me and was always a hero in my life.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of professionals that I've come across that I find very inspirational and still talk to and hold near and dear to my heart. But I think my biggest supporter that has always kept me in check is my dad.
Nice. Favorite sport? You got to pick one.
To play or to cover?
Ooh. You are leaving Saturday, so you could drop the mic.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, okay, to play and to cover. Pick one for each. Play or watch and then cover. How about that? So.
Yep. Play / watch. I'm going to say volleyball. It's my second love. And then cover. Oh, gosh. You know what? I did really enjoy women's basketball. I've spent a lot of time with outside teams and our team, and I just have a great time. I will pull my non-traditional one, though. I ever so did enjoy covering my rodeos.
Rodeos? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So before Eau Claire, like...
No, this was last August.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Play or watch? Probably tennis or pickleball. Okay. I'm going to lump them together. And then to cover... Okay, so I was... never with our Eau Claire baseball team, so I am not picking a favorite, but I do really enjoy covering baseball.
Okay, I like it. I think that, did I have one more? I thought I had one more over here. No, unless you had a...
Worst or craziest sports injury you've seen?
Ooh.
I had a tib fib fracture, so the whole lower leg was fractured and displaced.
Was not straight?
Was not straight.
Did it pierce?
No.
Okay, good. Nothing really crazy, no. Over there. All right, I got one more since you guys are graduating. One that you would avoid the most if you were talking to maybe some incoming freshmen. The hill or the bridge during sub-zero temperatures?
The bridge. Yeah. It's awful. I think my eyelashes have frozen, and it's mm-hmm. been bad.
Yeah.
I don't mind the stairs and the hill. I think it's kind of a nice little workout. But
yeah.
I will go the opposite and say the hill / the bridge. My lungs have never been so on fire getting back into clinic after that, and it does take a lot of recovery. Personal experience.
All right.
The worst part about the stairs, though, is that when you come up McPhee, there's classrooms right there. So yes. You come up huffing and puffing, and there's people in their classroom just like, you know, they're giggling at you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yep. I thought the same thing whenever I'd have to walk up those things. So, well, girls, thanks for stopping by. Congratulations on graduation this coming weekend, and best of luck on your future endeavors. It sounds like you guys got some really ambitious goals and plans. So,
do you know what sports you're working with at GAC?
Yeah, I'll be with women's soccer, women's basketball, and softball.
So we will see you in the winter for a tip-off tournament.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Look at
see
that.
Then.
Breaking news.
I like it. There you go. All right. Best of luck, and thank you guys again
for
stopping in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is going to do it for us on this episode of the Rolling with the Golds podcast. We just got a couple more left, and then season one is in the books. Catch up on all the episodes in our library right now, and don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Rollin' with the Golds podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts or by visiting bluegolds.com. Until next time, we'll talk to you on the next episode of Rollin' with the Golds.